The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello, welcome to MotoGPOD, the internet radio show about motorcycle road racing. I am your host, Bob Hayes, and today is Tuesday, the 2nd of May, 2006. This is show number 56, our Istanbul Grand Prix of Turkey race wrap-up. And this episode of MotoGPOD is sponsored by Komodo Gear. Komodo Motorcycle Gear is the result of the passion and combined efforts of motorcycle enthusiasts that have used their collective experience and applied it to their products. They race, they ride, and they cruise. They design their products with the safety, comfort, and style to meet the realities associated with motorcycling. All Komodo products come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee and a 5-year warranty against manufacturing defects. For more information, call 888-888. Komodo G, or visit www.komodogear.com. Komodo is the evolution in protective wear. Alrighty, as you probably guessed, I'm back. I'm back from my journey to the wilds of Las Vegas, where I had to go for work to the National Association of Broadcasters show for my day job that actually pays the bills. And no, even though it's the National Association of Broadcasters, I don't actually work in broadcasting, but we sell to them. I want to say a big, giant thank you to Jim Race for holding down the fort here at MotoGPOD while I was gone. He did a couple of shows. I thought they turned out really, really well. I hope you enjoyed them, too. I thought they were great. And there were a few small problems with delivery, with the actual feed, and I kind of apologize for that. That was my fault, and it's been fixed. You know, the show would go up a little bit late, or maybe sometimes you actually downloaded a show and thought it was something else. Whatever. It is fixed now. If you're still having problems with your feed, maybe resubscribe in iTunes or check the website or something like that. But other than that, and like I said, those were my fault. Other than that, I think everything went real great. Jim did a great job. We'll be hearing from Jim again soon because, as you may or may not have heard or may or may not recall, I am being deployed. I am it's time to pay the piper. I've spent 18 years in the Navy Reserve, never been deployed, so now I'm going. And it's all Team Green in the sand for me, so I will be off to the wilds of Iraq here in a few months, and I'll be back probably early next year, and things will go well. And in the meantime, we will be hearing a lot more from Jim Race, I do believe, and he's going to be babysitting the show for me. So that's going to be happening in a few weeks, actually, so whatever. Okay, while I was at NAB, on to a more cheerful note of not talking about media and deployed, while I was at NAB, I managed to have a few words with MotoGPOD listener David Salati. I've talked to David at a couple of trade shows, ran into him at IBC last year, ran into him at NAB a couple of times this year, worked with him a little bit. You know, also work-wise, we sort of established a work relationship a little bit. That was kind of good. And, you know, met him through MotoGPOD. That's kind of cool. So, hi, David. Sorry we didn't get a chance to go out and have that beer. Again, you know how trade shows are. They're always hideously busy. The next time, though, that we're both at the same trade show, we will definitely make a point. I also said hello to Tim Borquin of Podcast Brothers. Tim and his brother Emil Borquin do a show called The Podcast Brothers, oddly enough. It's kind of about, it's for podcasters. It's about the business of podcasting, and they tell you some of the things that you should know when, even, you know, whether you're trying to actually run it as a business or even if you're doing it like I am as a hobby, you know, things that are good to know and how to go about doing stuff. It's a good show I listen to occasionally. And Emil is a big fan of MotoGP. And a few episodes ago, he kind of did a little commentary about MotoGP.com, not MotoGPOD.com, unfortunately, but MotoGP.com, the official site. And he talked about some of the things that they're doing right and maybe some of the things that they're doing wrong with their pay for subscription model, which, as I have said before, at what is it, like 30 or 35 euros a year or something like that, MotoGP.com is a good value. They have fantastic content, just gigabytes and gigabytes of movies you can download and fantastic photos and all sorts of great stuff. That then, you know, the content is fantastic. The interface of the website is a train wreck. But other than that, it's still a good value. You just have to fight past that bandwidth hogging, CPU cycle gobbling, flash ridden, bling infested interface. And once you fight past that, you get to some fantastic content, and it's well worth the money. Also at NAB, I managed to talk to a few of the people in the QuickTime group there at Apple, and turns out a couple of them are MotoGP fans as well. It's just, it's weird, you know, the you meet people and then all of a sudden MotoGP comes up. I happened to be wearing a MotoGP OD shirt while I was setting up, and they commented on it, and I said, hey, that's my show. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm talking with some of the people from QuickTime, which is kind of fun. So, in any case, that was my NAB experience. You know, everybody thinks it's so great to go to Las Vegas for work and everything, but I'll tell you, it's a lot of work. It pretty much sucks. I mean, your high point of your day is, you know, going out to dinner, maybe having a beer or something at night, that sort of thing. Vegas isn't what it used to be. The bankers have ruined it, and I just don't really think it's all that great a place. And so while, you know, everybody's all envious of me, you know, not everybody, but many people do say, oh, I get to go to Vegas. That's all great. Yeah, well, you know, next time you can go, buddy. Okay. So, got back from Vegas then on Sunday, the 30th of April, just the other day. I went up to Portland International Raceway to watch the club races put on by the Oregon Motorcycle Road Racing Association. And MotoGP OD listeners Darren Carpenter, who rides the number 11 RC51 in their Open Twins Super Sport and Open Twins Superbike classes, and Mark Bothy, the official starter for the races, flag waver. Both, you know, they both, I emailed with them a few times, and they both kind of invited me up a little bit separately to come and say hi and all that thing. And it was really great to be able to talk to those guys and watch them do their stuff, along with all the other OMRA racers. They put on a great show up there. A lot of classes. Any conceivable motorcycle you can imagine, there's a class that it'll fit in OMRA. They have a big field of two-stroke, like, 250 and smaller Grand Prix type machines. They have a huge field of vintage machines that was really fun to watch. You know, they're not going as absolutely fast as everybody else, but it's some of the greatest racing, and good tight, and as usual on those little two-stroke, you know, and these are like 160s and 175s that these guys are racing, small old Hondas. Corner speed is everything, so, you know, it was some good racing. Their 600 Super Sport class is very big this year. Another great race schedule that they had. So whatever, all in all, it was a good day. Had a lot of fun up there, and they put on a good show. And like I said, again, thanks very much to Mark Bothy and to Darren Carpenter. And I'll be seeing Portland again in just a couple of weeks for the track day that I'm going to be doing with Cascade Track Time on May 15th. That's going to be a special one. So, in any case, I think we've kind of gone on and on and on here long enough about stuff that isn't all that MotoGP related, but it is motorcycle related, most of it, except for the NAB comments. But in any case, I think we've kind of gone on long enough about it. I did have one question from Jonathan Woodall, and he sent me an email. He says, do you know if the RC211V uses a fly-by-wire throttle? For some reason, I could swear that I read somewhere that they use a standard throttle system for the feel and use the fuel injection to operate the traction control, but I can't find it anywhere. Google comes up with nothing. And in any case, what I replied to Jonathan, and I'm pretty sure this is right, although I haven't had a chance myself to do more research about it, I remember reading in Julian Ryder's season guidebook that the 2005 WCM had the last real, in quotes, throttle cable on the grid. Everything else was fly-by-wire. So while I also remember seeing what Jonathan is talking about, I think that was in like the first year for the RC211V. They used a regular throttle and went to fly-by-wire shortly after that. So it was quite a while ago that they had that. I'm sure they have a fly-by-wire at first, but I do think they use, or fly-by-wire now, I'm sure they have a fly-by-wire now, but I think they used a standard throttle cable at first, and so that might have been what was sticking in both of our heads. In any case, thanks very much for the question, Jonathan. I like that kind of stuff. It's interesting. And why don't we now go ahead and start talking a little bit about the qualifying session at Istanbul. It was a rainy Saturday in Istanbul for the qualifying session for the Turkish Grand Prix, and rain being the great equalizer that it is, there were some surprises on the grid for Sunday's race. Christopher Millen rode his Suzuki with its Bridgestone tires very well throughout the entire session, taking the fast lap early on and keeping it until about halfway through the session. Around then, Ducati rider Loris Caparossi, also on Bridgestones, had the fastest lap, and Nicky Hayden on the Michelin-equipped factory Repsol Honda was in third. Vermeulen came back, beating Caparossi, took the top time again, then he lost it to Hayden, then Vermeulen came back again, came back on real strong, and he put in a time that was more than 1 second faster than the rest of the field. Hayden and Vermeulen continued to push hard, and onto the last lap of the session, it looked like Hayden was on the way to beating Vermeulen's time and taking pole when he outbraked himself going into the final turn, which forced him to run off track and left Vermeulen with the fastest lap. Hayden was pretty pissed off at himself about the whole situation and later called it a club racing move. But good job to Chris Vermeulen, putting in a time of 204.617 to grab the pole position in only his fifth MotoGP race, third race for the Suzuki team in his first full season in MotoGP. The rest of the grid lined up behind Vermeulen, thusly. Oh, that came out real good, didn't it? Second on the grid, Nicky Hayden, who, like I said, dang near managed to pull in a time for the pole there and just managed to make a small mistake on his last lap that cost him the pole. He was only 0.2 behind Vermeulen. Third, Sete Gibernau had a pretty strong qualifying session on the Ducati. Fourth, Loris Caparossi came on real strong halfway through but was never able to kind of capitalize on that. Fifth place, John Hopkins on the other Suzuki, riding his fourth season for Suzuki. Development rider and everything's got to sting a little bit to see Vermeulen take the pole. But Hopkins is... I think he's in for a good season. He should do well. We're going to see more from Hopkins, I hope. Sixth place, Randy Dupuis on the Kawasaki. Those Bridgestones are coming in strong on the wet, and that, like I said, rain is the great equalizer. And the Suzukis and the Kawasakis, it manages to level out some of the disadvantage that they have over the Hondas, or disadvantage they have against the Hondas, and they can make a good showing. So sixth place, Randy Dupuis, who has not yet scored points in the MotoGP season for the first two races of MotoGP. Seventh place, Casey Stoner on the LCR Honda. Big star Casey Stoner doing really well there. Nice qualifying position. Eighth place, Shinya Nakano on the other Kawasaki. Another decent qualifying position. Ninth place, Colin Edwards. So we finished up the third row, and we haven't heard from some of our big dogs, and that's kind of unusual, isn't it? 10th place on the grid. First spot in the fourth row, Kenny Roberts Jr. on the Team KR211V, doing quite well there in the qualifying session. 11th spot, Valentino Rossi on the Yamaha. Still not able to overcome these chatter and or vibration issues that he's seemingly having. Just really didn't have a very good weekend overall. And Rossi's never been the strongest qualifier, and he's also not actually the strongest rain racer. You know, he's not bad in the rain, but he's not well known as a guy who can really, really shine in the wet. And it kind of showed through there in the qualifying session, 11th. You know, not really that great. Disappointing weekend there for qualifying for Valentino Rossi. 12th spot, Tony Elias on the first of the Fortuna Hondas. 13th spot, first guy in the fifth row, Makoto Tomita on the Honda. Probably still wishing for his Bridgestones. 14th, Marco Melandri on the other Fortuna Honda. 15th spot, Carlos Checa, Yamaha Shod Dunlop Shod Yamaha motorcycle. Back there in 15th. Carlos Checa's early wonderfulness in the preseason testing just hasn't seemed to bear a whole lot of fruit in the actual season. 16th place, Danny Pedrosa. Wow. Now, Danny had a tough time in the wet. He crashed hard in the third free practice session on Saturday morning. Had a really bad crash, and the rain really seemed to affect him a lot through the whole qualifying session, possibly due to his light weight, which can be an advantage, but it can also be a disadvantage. Just seeming to have a hard time to wrap himself around the motorcycle and kind of control it in the rain. 17th spot, Alec Hoffman on the Dantine Ducati. 18th, Jose Luis Cardozo on the other Dantine Ducati. And in the somewhat usual 19th spot, James Ellison on the other Yamaha. So, James, come on. You can pick it up. I know you can. So, that's how they're going to line up, or that's how they did line up, because I'm actually recording this after the race, for the Turkish Grand Prix at Istanbul. And we will have a race report here coming up in just a second. Alrighty, now we're going to talk a little bit about the race at Istanbul. So if you have not yet seen the race, it's time to turn off the podcast, and because obviously I'm going to have to talk about the winners. And if you haven't seen it, don't want it spoiled, well, you're going to have to come back later. In any case, I'll tell you, what a race. It was absolutely amazing to watch. The whole thing was just this nonstop battle from the top four guys very, very tight group, much tighter than we typically often see in MotoGP. Really, it was amazing. I mean, just the whole race, I was on the edge of my seat nonstop. Christopher Millen rocketed off the line from his pole position start, managed to get the whole shot, and led the first lap the whole way. And we're like, wow, you know, look at that. I mean, he started to actually almost look like he was a tiny bit breaking away. He was opening up a gap over the rest of the field. Behind him, we had Gibernau, Hopkins, Hayden, and they're just all battling and trying to catch up and close that gap and not let him get away. The second lap, Gibernau managed to pass Vermeulen. Vermeulen actually passed back again, but then Gibernau, you know, passed and made it stick, and that was the end of leading for Chris Vermeulen. But he did manage to lead a lap of a MotoGP race. It looked really, really good. We had, you know, some exciting stuff from Hopper there. Eventually, Hopper also passed Vermeulen, so Hopper was in second on that second lap. And there's just so many lead changes and position changes amongst there that she just couldn't keep it straight. And the announcers seemed to have the same problem. Several times throughout the race, noticed Nick Harris referring to, sees how Danny Pedrosa making a move, and he would say it was Hayden or vice versa, or all kinds of mistakes like that. It was like the world was upside down. There was just everywhere. Valentino Rossi, from his miserable pole position, grid position of 11th, didn't really get off to much of a good start. He finished that first lap in 11th and then made a mistake on lap 2 and slipped all the way down to, I believe it was 14th. And he just was not off to a very, very good start and seemed to be having a frustrating race. Colin Edwards was making some time up. Danny Pedrosa, on the other hand, absolutely flew up from his miserable 16th on the grid starting position. He finished the first lap in 13th, second lap he finished in 9th, and then he just sort of started marching his way up slowly after that. So, I mean, he really did very, very well. Gibernau led for the first 10 laps of the race there, well, not counting lap 1. And behind him, you just had this huge battle going on with Melandri, Hayden, Stoner, who was having a fantastic race. Loris Caparossi to a point, and then Hopkins and Christopher Millen sort of also keeping up there quite along for the first third of the race, just doing very well. Like I said, it was nonstop action on the track, a lot of passing, a lot of stuff happening, a lot of things going on. However, roughly there at the midway point of the race, the tires started going off, and we started seeing, you know, basically the men were separated from the boys, so to speak. Hopkins had to pit on lap 11 for a new rear tire, some kind of tire problem or another. Vermeulen just started slipping back down the order. He was down in like 5th, 6th position, just couldn't keep quite up with the lead group. And Gibernau, after he lost the lead there on lap 11 to Melandri, just basically all four of the riders, you know, he was sort of holding them back, and they just kind of all went on through. So around lap 11, it was Melandri, Pedrosa coming up from his, like I said, his miserable starting position down there in 16th, Hayden, and Casey Stoner. So we had a huge battle of Hondas there, all four of the Hondas battling for position throughout the second half of the race. Melandri would lead for a while, then Pedrosa. Pedrosa managed to have claimed the lead lap on laps 12 through 16. And officially on the lap chart, we had, like here, laps 13 through 16, we had Pedrosa, Hayden, Melandri, Stoner was the, 1, 2, 3, 4. But in actuality, there were so many times when they passed or almost passed, or you thought they were going to pass, that it was just really hard to keep straight. Like I said, you know, the announcers made several mistakes with saying that Pedrosa was going to make a pass or Hayden was going to make a pass, you know, confusing the bikes, things like that. One thing I got to say, the direction, the camera direction of the race, I thought was great. I didn't see a whole lot of problems with it. There were several times when they went to the overhead aerial shot and they held it for long enough, you know, because you could see there was some action going on the track. You knew who the riders were because you'd just been a second ago, you know, seeing, okay, there's Hayden in fourth or whatever. And then you're in the overhead shot and you could see him, you know, moving up for position, and you didn't have that distortion effect that you often get with those long lensed cameras where you see the bikes coming into the corner and it looks like they're side by side, but actually, you know, one guy's quite a ways behind the other guy. That tends to happen a lot. But on that overhead shot, it didn't lie. You could see who was coming up and who was running a little bit wide and all sorts of stuff. You could see that Hayden had a considerably different line going through those right, left, right chicanes that you have at each end of the fast straight there on the Turkish, on the Istanbul Grand Prix circuit there. You have a couple of those chicane areas. And it was just, it was an amazing race, like I said, and the direction helped a lot. Then in the last third part of the race, we had, like I said, Melandri managed to take a lead there on lap 17. All these Honda guys were just swapping the lead back and forth and back and forth. And then we had Casey Stoner take the lead on lap 18. Casey Stoner is on his way. It looks like he's going to win his first Moto Grand Prix. He started checking out a little bit. He was getting away from the field. Then Melandri managed to put the pressure on, and he was coming up. We had Melandri when he was in second position, followed by Danny Pedrosa in third. They were really pressuring. All of them were pressuring. Hayden started dropping back a little bit at this point and just could not quite keep up with the three. But out of those three, Stoner, Melandri, and Pedrosa, there was nothing. It was not a done deal at all. It was, you know, anybody's race at that point. Like I said, Stoner officially was claiming these laps, and you're just cheering the guy on. It's like, oh my gosh, this is his, you know, he's in his rookie year. He's doing so well. And to watch him, it was just great. And then Pedrosa on the last lap had, he crashed. And it was just, oh my God, he crashed at a third position. It was just amazing to, you know, so it was heartbreaking in a way to see it. He just lost the front. And you could see, you know, the frustration there and everything else. I, as a Nicky Hayden fan, was kind of like, well, you know, at least that puts Hayden up into third. But in any case, Hayden was too far back to challenge for that lead. But you knew that Melandri had Stoner in his sights. And coming into the last half of the race there, the last half of the last lap, excuse me, Melandri managed to make the pass on Stoner and managed to make it stick. And he crossed the line and won his third Grand Prix. First of the season, actually kind of turning around a slow start to the season. Melandri hasn't really got off to a very, very good start overall this season. And second place was Casey Stoner, first podium in, you know, first MotoGP. Did very, very well, second spot. I had a race to be proud of. I mean, he really could have, you know, he couldn't have asked for a whole lot better. You know, sure, it would have been nice to win it, but taking a second like this is also outstanding. Congratulations to Casey Stoner, and I think Team LCR should be rightfully proud of what they've achieved there. Third place, Nicky Hayden. Then in fourth place, we had Valentino Rossi, who came up from his dreadful starting position, like I said, of down in 11th, and didn't get off to a very good start at all, but through the second part of the race there, managed to make up some time and started picking people off one by one. And towards the, I don't know, there was about six laps to go or so, and he was about 6 seconds behind the lead group, and Nick Harris was just saying, you know, oh, there's no way he can win the race and things like that. And, you know, I remember watching the race in Catalonia a few years ago where he went off into the gravel and in only a couple of laps made up so many positions that I was thinking, you know, don't count that guy out. But it wasn't in the cards today. He did not do it. And he was not too, too far behind Hayden. He was about, oh, 7/10 of a second behind Hayden, I guess. And but still, from the leaders, he was a good 6 seconds off the pace there. And still, all in all, you know, very good to be able to come up to fourth and from 11th on the grid. Fifth, Tony Elias. Sixth place, Loris Caparossi. The tires started going off and things like that and just sort of rode a quiet race back there. Seventh, Chris Vermeulen. Same story. Came on, started on really, really strong and just couldn't maintain the pace for the entire race. Eighth place, Shinya Nakano, where he started on the grid. Ninth place, Colin Edwards, also the position that he started in on the grid. 10th place, Makoto Tomita, which moving up a little bit from his grid spot. And 11th place, Sete Gibernau. Must have been disappointing after leading for so much of the first half of the race to finish that far down. But I think the curse of Qatar 2004 is continuing, and Sete Gibernau apparently will not be winning any Grand Prix anytime soon. 12th place, Randy Dupuynier. 13th, Kenny Roberts Jr. 14th, Danny Pedrosa. Like I said, what a heartbreaker. Crashes out of third place there on the last lap. And loses about 50 seconds getting the motorcycle back up, but still manages to finish the race ahead of Carlos Checa, Alex Hoffman, and then John Hopkins and James Ellison, who were so far behind and had been lapped, you know, just they were way, way behind. Actually, John Hopkins, no, apparently was not lapped. He finished on the lead lap, looks like it. And then James Ellison, though, was lapped. And then not enough laps completed. I haven't seen that before in a race classification that I recall. Jose Luis Cardoso was 7 laps down. So they went back out for testing. He did pit early on. They commented on it that he went in for some sort of, mechanical or other difficulty, and apparently came back out, although you wouldn't have known it because the commentators and the cameras were concentrating so much on those top four. They only barely broke away to show you, a little bit of the down the field action, mainly because that was where Rossi was at. So for a little while, we saw some kind of Rossi action going on, but really they were focusing on those top four riders because it was just such an exciting race the whole time, and they held a tight group, and there was a lot of action on the track. It was a fantastic race overall. Definitely a keeper. If you haven't seen it, you need to go to MotoGP.com and subscribe or whatever, watch the race, do something. They'll rerun it on Speed here in America. Maybe they'll rerun it on Eurosport or whatever channel it is that you watch MotoGP on. You got to see this race. Istanbul 2006 is going to go down as one of the good ones. It was just overall very enjoyable race. Alrighty, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. This is Bob Hayes saying thank you very much for listening. Thanks for downloading the show. And thanks again to Darren Carpenter, Mark Bothy, and all the other folks at OMRA. You can check out the OMRA race schedule at OMRRA. It's Oregon Motorcycle Road Racing Association, OMRRA.com. And if you're within driving distance of PIR on a race weekend, I really encourage you to come out there and check them out. They put on a really good show. There's a constant on-track action. They have some lunchtime activities, the usual sort of thing. But it was fun. Had a good time. And wherever you are in the country, check out your local club racing scene. Find the website for the road course that's within driving distance, and pretty much guaranteed there's going to be some motorcycle club racing out there sooner or later. And somebody said to me once, actually, this Pop Monkey I'm right on to said, if you want to see good racing, go check out your club. If you want to see great racing, go check out your local club racing association. If you want to see great racers, then you watch MotoGP. And I think there's a certain point to that. It really was fun, and these guys are working real hard to put on a good show. And as always, if you want to send an email with comments or suggestions or questions or whatever, the address is MotoGPOD@MotoGPOD.com. Excuse me, MotoGPOD@MotoGPOD.com. Seem to be developing a tongue-tied habit here lately. I've been super, super busy the last several weeks getting ready for that big trade show. Probably still going to be busy here now getting ready for my deployment, but I do try to answer all of my email, and I appreciate getting it, and I appreciate all the kind comments and stuff that I get. So, send them in. And if you have comments or questions or whatever for Jim Race about the last two shows, about the ones that he did, his email address is race@MotoGPOD.com. And that's race, just like motorcycle race. It's kind of a cool name, just like Scott Speed or something like that. So race@MotoGPOD.com. And in any case, until next time, ride safe and enjoy the spring riding weather. MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGPOD isn't affiliated with any of them.